You're listening to a 3CR podcast created in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.
Listening to Yarra Bicycle Users Group Radio on 3CR Radical Radio. Thank you to Democracy Now! For the last hour of current affairs. My name's Chris, and we're proud to acknowledge the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation, traditional owners of the land from which we transmit people-powered radio. Yarra Bicycle Users Group Radio, we're a program that started way back in 2008 on 3CR. We're about cycling, micro-mobility, advocacy, adventures, and all sorts of things to do with either cycling or active transport issues. On today's show, I'll be chatting to Adele Vosper from Stoddington City Council about a new TAC light trial. And I also will be speaking to Karen O'Vega about the new, and all everything's new this week, the new North Richmond bike bus. And that'll be riding to school together every Friday. So after the announcements, I'll be chatting about that. But welcome to 2026. It's been a bit of a bumpy start to the year. And of this week, beginning with the 26th of January, always was, always will be, Aboriginal land. I can't help but bring to your attention, if you're not already aware of it, but Victoria and across Australia is experiencing extreme heatwave conditions. Well, I'd like you people out there to take care of yourselves. The severe to extreme intensity heatwave conditions will peak on Tuesday and Wednesday, and southwest parts of the state will apparently begin to cool down for the middle of the week. But we've got heatwave conditions, and what does that mean for if you're moving around out there? Which means possibly don't. Thing is, if you can't keep yourself cool and you're not feeling the best, maybe don't put yourself in that situation for starters if you think you're going to find yourself overheating. So yeah, because untreated heat illness can lead to heat stroke, which is a life-threatening condition. So carry heaps and heaps of water, maybe even can reconsider your transport options. Just basically be aware of your heat risk and whatever problems and plan ahead. And also just keep an eye on your friends, keep an eye on your family, put some water out in the yard, make sure all your animal companions and the like have, including yourself, have access to shade and water. You would know about Melbourne Bike Rave. Now they've done a call out for assistance, and basically they've been going for a long, long time, but they need assistance. Now they've put out a call, Bike Rave needs you. Bike Rave depends upon the collective energy of its community. And to ensure that they can keep doing these rides, they need a dedicated group of organisers. And if you're on Instagram, they're asking you to contact them directly. Yeah, so this event can be entirely grassroots and community run, and to keep it sustainable and safe, they need to have people, committed individuals who are willing to give the time and skills for the planning process. And what they're looking for at the moment is design, people with the experience in design, visual identity and digital assets, music, sound coordination and DJ curation, logistics, event management and route planning, and operations, general coordination of problem solving. And if you've got this capacity or you know someone who can help with the next chapter of Bike Rave, get onto Instagram, their Bike Rave Melbourne, and contact them there. Now, also, if you've been paying attention or you've been listening to the program or you've been across all the e-bike stuff that's been going on, The Department of Transport and Planning have put out an information pack about restrictions for converted e-bikes on public transport. Basically, it's not. You can't take converted e-bikes on metropolitan and regional trains within ticketed areas. It's basically, nope, no, can't. We're not allowing it. So the converted e-bikes are all banned on trains and across the public transport network. It's, no, you can't. It's basically the trade-off we've got to keep e-bikes on public transport. Now, better getting on to news and events. Looking at Nipaluna, Hobart. Some interesting stuff that got sent to us by Streets People Love in Hobart. Basically, what the traffic data shows is a 12-month review of traffic data for Campbell and Argyle Street shows no noticeable increase in motor vehicle traffic time since protected bike lanes were installed. And yeah, so bike lanes are not the blame for congestion. And I've seen that the Lord Mayor down there had posted a few things about this as well. And the 12-month review of traffic data for Campbell and Argyle Street, me repeating myself here, shows no noticeable increase in motor vehicle traffic times or motor vehicle travel times since the bike lanes were installed. The finding is based upon data collected by the state growth and presented by council in a formal report. Now, there was a Mercury article on the 20th last week and how the data was collected. Traffic travel times were analysed using Bluetooth signals from in-vehicle devices such as car stereos. And yeah, it just goes into a fair bit of detail there. And results from the review, according to the council report, the travel time data does not, at face value, suggest any major impacts to vehicle travel times that have occurred that can be attributable to the installation of the facilities. And the Department of State Growth provided a block-by-block data to council. In most cases, changes to travel time since 2023 are minor and typically in the range of 1 to 10 seconds per block. My God, we're going into some minutiae here. And yeah, it's pretty detailed. So go to Streets People Love in Hobart, got more about it. And also, the Lord Mayor down there actually posted a fair bit about it as well. I do want to mention something, and again, it's one of those things I wish I didn't have to talk about, but what's happening in the US? Now, yesterday there was another terrible incident with a 37-year-old man called Alex Pretty. Now, why am I talking about this? And you think, why has it got anything to do with a cycling show on 3CR? Well, it has got a lot. We've got the rise of fascism in the US, and this young man was basically helping someone out. And he was killed in an extrajudicial murder. Now, why again am I mentioning this? Because he was a gravel bike rider. He was just someone like one of us. And I've noticed reading in one of the Reddit forums subreddits, a post where basically people for dozens of repeated posts replying to each other just said the same three words over and over again. One of us, one of us, one of us. And I do want to read this post or this comment that was left in this Reddit thread. One of us, to be sure. Decent, productive, empathetic, helping humans trying to do good and live our lives, absolute majority. We've been letting the worst of us tear away at our lives and society for far too long. It's time to ensure that the pitiful, scared, drooling cowards and greedy oligarchs have not one single more say in how we live our lives in our country.
Help 3CR raise funds by donating your containers. Every eligible drink container that you return to a Container Deposit Scheme recycling point earns 10 cents, which can really add up. 3CR is a donation partner for Victoria's Container Deposit Scheme. The scheme allows you to recycle selected aluminium, glass, or plastic containers and donate the funds earned to a not-for-profit organisation of your choice. Help us raise funds for the station. Search for Community Radio and choose 3CR next time you cash in your cans. Go to cdsvic.org.au for more information.
I'm talking to Adele Vosper, and we're going to be talking about a new light insights trial from the Transport Accident Commission. Adele, do you want to come in here and tell me what council and what this trial is about?
Thanks, Chris. The City of Stonington is partnering with the TAC. They put out a call earlier for expressions of interests from various local government areas, and Stonington was successful. So we'll be running this Light Insights trial for a period of 12 months, and participants in the trial will each receive a smart bike light from a company called C-Sense. And these bike lights are valued at around $240. And there's, I guess, kind of two benefits for them. So for the point of this trial and for our purposes at council, the lights pair with the C-Sense app. It collects data, real-time data about the person's ride. So it collects information on swerving behavior, road surfaces, sudden acceleration or deceleration. So in other words, sudden braking. And this will then in turn help us identify areas, you know, that are near miss locations where accidents might be likely to happen, where road surface quality isn't so great. So that can really help us inform maintenance on our roads for bike users, but also help us identify routes that maybe in the future we want to improve the cycling infrastructure on. And then for the bike riders themselves, they benefit because these bike lights are extremely bright. They also have daylight visibility, which is when the majority of accidents tend to happen. And they also change their flashing behavior at risky locations, so near intersections, roundabouts, things like that. So it really is beneficial for the people participating in the trial, for the bike riders participating in the trial, and then for us to help us better understand the experiences of bike riders through our municipality. At the moment, we have counters, so static counters, so we can see at certain locations number of riders, but we don't have this really rich data. And the other thing with this is the app also allows riders to enter in qualitative data. So if they want to give more information about their riding experience, you know, if it was a near miss, what exactly happened there, they're able to enter that information in. In terms of privacy, we don't get individual route data. So we don't see where individuals are riding to or from. We get data at more of an aggregate level, so we can see, okay, on this particular stretch of road, a lot of the riders participating in the trial are going along there, and perhaps at a certain intersection, there might be a lot of sudden braking behavior. So we're getting it at an aggregated level. We don't know where the individuals in our trial are riding to or from. So people don't need to be worried about that. For people who are interested in participating, we're looking for a range of riders. So we want to have people who represent the diversity of riders in Stonington. People don't need to be residents of Stonington, as long as they ride in Stonington or through Stonington several times a week, we're interested. People need to be age 16 and over and have a smartphone, either on the Android or the iOS operating system. And then we'll, based on the number of applications, we'll then go through and select 100 participants looking at diversity of gender, of the types of rides people are doing, whether they're doing it for commuting, whether they're doing it to transport children to school, whether they're doing it, whether they're riding because they're doing it for training, for bike races, things like that. We really want to capture information from all sorts of riders. So people who are interested in participating in the trial, they can look at the Stonington webpage. And if you type in Light Insights Trial, you'll get to the webpage for the trial and the link to the application form. And I'm sure, Chris, you'll also be able to post a direct link on the radio station program page.
So you've basically answered a whole bunch of questions I already had here because privacy is a big one because, that's happened with, some apps and the like that I've seen the development of over the last 10, 15 years. And SeaSense, people would be familiar with that because there's a TAC have partnered before in the last five, oh, 4 or 5 years.
Yeah,
So.
they've partnered with them with the Surf Coast Shire previously, and I think the Surf Coast Shire is also going into a second phase of their trial as well. Perhaps just one more thing to note, while the bike lights are free and they're valued at around 240 Australian dollars, we do need participants to pay for the postage out, but that's only around $20, so
Right.
that's a relatively low cost in comparison with the light, which participants do get to keep after the end of the trial.
Okay, so the website's live. It's basically
It is.
stonington.vic.gov.au/ in this is in caps lock lit LIT. So it's pretty easy. You just go to stonington/lit. Now, you got here applications close at 5 p.m. Monday, the 23rd of February 2026. That's
That's
correct.
correct. Yes. And so we'll then probably take till the end of that week to go through the applications, and then everybody will be informed on the outcome of the application, whether they're successful or not. And they will then be sent a link with a discount code so that they can essentially purchase the light for free and just pay for the postage. And they'll also be sent a code so that when they get their light and install the app on their phone, they'll need to join this particular project for the trial. So
Good.
they'll get all that information once we've made this selection of participants.
Good. Because people, again, listening to this show would be familiar with like our data, stuff like Bike Spot and the iterations of Bike Spot. And also, this is just taking it into another phase of, as you said, data rich.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, anything in closing you'd like to say, Adele, about the Transport Accident Commission Bike Light Trial?
We're just really excited to have this opportunity to partner with the TAC and also be working with SeaSense on it. I think it's a great opportunity to see how, data like this can help inform bike network and make riding safer for bike riders. So, yeah, we'd love to have as many of your listeners sign up as possible. And if people have any questions about the trial, if they're unsure whether they should sign up or not, they can also send an email to transport planning, that's all lowercase together, at stonington.vic.gov.au. And I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Organisation I work for, 3CR Community Radio, has been our partner for the last 45 years. They've always been a part of our struggle, particularly on Invasion Day. And today they're doing a whole day of broadcasting and programming around Invasion Day, as they usually do for the last couple of decades. They've done that for us. I just want to acknowledge the 3CR mob.
today on Yarra Bicycle Users Group Radio on 3CR. I'm chatting to Karen about the new North Richmond bike bus. Karen, do you want to give us an overview of what this actually is?
Sure. So North Richmond is an interesting place. We have three primary schools in the local area, Richmond West Primary School, Yarra Primary School and Trinity Primary School. And the local people who live around here are pretty comfortable in choosing any of those schools, and they're all great schools. But it does mean that there's quite a few kids who are being driven to school and things like that. So I thought that it would be really great to provide a really safe space for people to learn how to ride their bikes to school with their kids.
People would have seen things across, especially on Instagram with Sam Balto, who does Bike Bus World and all this amazing stuff we've seen coming out of, and especially the US, to do with bike buses.
It's very motivating to watch those social media reels and to see all those kids having such a great time first thing in the morning on their way to school and just hanging out together, because, you know, it's one of those intermediate steps between going to school on your own and being taken to school by a parent. If you can do it in a bike bus, you can actually hang out with your friends and your parents can just sort of hang back and let things happen.
Bit of an overview of what a bike bus is if someone is interested in having their, was it primary school or high school? What sort of age group are you looking at for this?
I'm targeting it at the primary school kids. There's an opportunity to actually have it go a much longer distance and have some of the kids from Richmond High join in as well. But, you know, we'll start small and get bigger as we go. So the plan is that we're going to meet in Lennox Street, just near the North Richmond Community Health Centre, and basically just ride right straight through the Richmond Housing Estate, crossing Church Street at the supervised crossing there. So we'll probably use the footpath for a lot of that. And then we'll just hop onto Buckingham Street and straight down Buckingham Street. So it's a pretty straight run, pretty quick ride. And that's just about keeping it as simple as possible. If people are interested in doing something a bit more, we've got a lot of flexibility to add that sort of stuff in. So, you know, if people are wanting to come back with us to go to Richmond West Primary School, that would, we can talk about that. If we wanted to do a little bit of a loop to actually collect some more kids, we can talk about that. Like I said, we're just starting small at the moment and simple, just making sure that we meet a need as we can.
Because I was thinking that term one starts this week. Would you be starting this week or you'd be a little bit later?
No. I want to start this week, and we'll just sort of soft. The plan is to have a soft start to basically collect as many people as we can for Friday morning. I'm planning to head to the school and talk to some people on Thursday afternoon or Wednesday afternoon, one of those, to just see if I can recruit a few more people. But we've got enough people to get started.
Excellent. So you're looking at doing it how many times a week? Yeah, just to give people a little bit of a thing how they can organise themselves if they're interested.
If you can hop onto Instagram and like click on the link to register, that would be super helpful. But the plan is that we'll ride together on a Friday morning, meeting, like I said, at North Richmond, near North Richmond Community Health, on the east-west pathway at about 8:15, and then we'll actually leave for school at like 25 past 8. And then, like I said, riding through the streets of North Richmond with a couple of adults and some children to arrive at Yarra Primary School at about 8:35 and at Trinity Primary School 5 minutes later. They're just around the corner from each other. It's really easy.
So you've mentioned you've got the North Richmond bike bus, and that's on Instagram, but you've also got Google form if people want to fill that in. I can put that into the podcast description.
That'd be great.
So, like, basically the North Richmond bike bus is a group of families that live in North Richmond and have children. Yeah, you've just explained at those two schools. And we'll meet on a Friday morning and ride our bikes together. So Justin Timberlake joined the bike bus last year for one. Was it somewhere, was it Portland or somewhere else?
It was, I think it might even have been Seattle.
Seattle,
exactly. Yeah, look,
it was Portland.
Have a look at my form. I've actually got a link to the YouTube where Justin Timberlake joined the bike bus.
Yeah, okay, it was in Portland.
So I was lucky enough to be awarded a grant from the Victorian government to help me fund the advertising and some of the equipment that I'm going to need to make it a really fun experience. And the other thing is that in a couple of weeks, I'm hoping to run a bike activity morning on a Sunday morning to actually just encourage kids to come down and have a bike ride and have their bikes checked and helmets checked and play some games and some bike skills activities. So keep an eye out for that on the socials.
Okay, so North Richmond Bike Bus starting in 2026, just at the end of this first month of January. So yeah, also yeah, you got the link to the NBC News article, Oregon School's Unique Way of Getting Students to Class, a Bike Bus.
Look, I'd really love to see this become a great collective of people doing interesting things and encouraging kids to have a good time on their bikes because it's a great time to have a good time on your bike. Come along to the North Richmond Bike Bus on Friday. I'd really love to have you there.
Disasters like flood, fire, and extreme heat can have a significant impact on people's lives. Community legal centres help people experiencing challenges posed by climate change and disasters to access the resources and support they need. Disasters can lead to a range of problems, such as damage to your home, poor conditions with your rental home, difficulty getting insurance, issues within families, at work, and with Centrelink payments. Community legal centres can be found across Victoria and can provide help if you've been affected by a disaster. To find a community legal centre near you, visit the Federation of Community Legal Centres website at fclc.org.au. You can also contact Disaster Legal Help Victoria on 1800 113 432 and go to its website for helpful information at disasterlegalhelp.org.au. The Federation of Community Legal Centres is a 3CR supporter.
Yarrabug would like to thank Bicycle Network for their financial support. Bicycle Network, a not-for-profit with 45,000 members, working to get more people riding for their health and well-being. Bicycle Network is proud to sponsor the Yarrabug program and support its important advocacy for safer and more accessible riding. By becoming a Bicycle Network member and or participating in one of their iconic riding events, you're supporting Bicycle Network's Ride to School programs and advocacy campaigns to make it easier for everyone to ride a bike every day. Visit bicyclenetwork.com.au for more information.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.